City Hall. Before we start the meeting, I'd like to go over some housekeeping items. Today's meeting is being recorded. Those tuning in will notice that all of the participants, with the exception of the commission and some city staff members, are muted and video has been disabled. With this said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there is a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up on the screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of that box, you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you'll be able to unmute it at the appropriate time. Let me see here, hang on here. You'll be able to unmute it at an appropriate time to ask your question or give input. During this time you are unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radios, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept at 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate, please call 582-0336 at any time during the meeting. And the executive assistant, Barb Brooks, will be happy to assist you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through today's meeting agenda. At this time, I'm going to introduce, before I open the meeting, Public Act 228, which is the recommended procedure that we need to adopt. Actually, you have to adopt a policy to adhere to policy 228. And if we just discuss it now, we can adopt it later, but if we discuss it now, it just means we have some protocol when we open the meeting. Mike, you wanna go over that, please?
Yes, as the commission and the audience may be aware, this is our first city commission Zoom meeting since the Michigan Supreme Court struck down the governor's executive orders, and then subsequently the state legislature passed new legislation allowing communities and other units of government to have electronic meetings, at least through the end of the current calendar year, pretty much for any reason, and then going forward beyond that, with more restrictive rationale for it. As part of the new legislation, this legislature put into effect some new requirements with regards to the practices that we go through if we're going to use electronic meetings. And that's what this policy that's before you is to deal with. This policy is one that was adopted by the city of Grand Haven, and I've modified it just ever so slightly to meet our needs. I looked at a few of them online to see what best fits in with our practices and procedures, so people wouldn't be too thrown by them. A couple things here. We have to say why the meeting is being held remotely or electronically. And the reason that we're having now is basically because we're looking to eliminate or reduce the possibility of the spread of COVID-19. So that's the rationale for having this meeting electronically at this point. We also have to, at least the city commission does, as the participants, the legislative body in this meeting, has to basically say where they are when they are participating in the electronic meeting. So you don't have to give your address or anything like that, but you do have to say, you know, you're in Boyne City, in Michigan, in the United States when you're doing that. And I think all of us that are with the city here today, you know, that fits for everybody. So what I would recommend is when we do the roll call, you basically say, you're present and I'm attending electronically from Boyne City, Michigan, in the United States. And that should cover that. Additionally, the state's requiring that the commissioners, whether it's city commissioners or if it's a planning commissioner, parks board, whoever's using the meeting electronically, that board the officials on that board need to provide either their a phone number or an email address where constituents or citizens can reach them to discuss matters on the agenda prior to the meeting. So we have those items for the City Commission posted online, so it isn't a big change for us, but that's something that needs to be spelled out in the policy. Most everything else is things that we've done already. I mean, we're pretty open and transparent. We provide opportunities for people to comment throughout the meeting. So I think, you know, from the large part, it really isn't much of a change in procedures for us. But they do call for having a policy adopted. So after we do have roll call, unless there's some additional questions or discussions the commission wants to have on this, I'd recommend that we adopt this policy. So I'd be glad to entertain any questions or comments before we get into the official meeting.
Yeah, I did have one question, maybe a comment. I think in item number two, the second sentence, that applies pretty much after December 31st. Is that correct? I think before then it's any reason.
Correct. Yes. And the rules change a little bit. And yes, and there are special provisions through all the three steps that the state legislature has to basically allow remote military people to participate electronically.
Any other questions? Okay, at this time it's 12:08. I'd like to call a meeting to order, and let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call, please. And as we do roll call, let's get in practice of stating that you're in Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Conklin?
Present. I am attending electronically from Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Grunch?
Here. I'm attending this meeting electronically in Boyne City, Michigan, in the United States.
Needhammer?
Present. I'm attending from Boyne City, Michigan, by electronically, and Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Paige?
Sally, we can't hear you.
There you go, Sally. We can't hear you. We're on roll call.
Hold that space bar down, Sally.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Sally Page. I am present in attending electronically from Boyne City, USA.
Solomon?
Present, attending electronically from Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Quorum present.
Thank you. So at this time, changing up the little bit of the agenda, let's talk about Public Act 228 and see if indeed we do want to adopt that as policy. Mike, turn over to you.
Patrick, if you could put that back on the screen, please. The policy. And again, we'd entertain any questions with regards to it. Dean, if you're comfortable, if you want to strike or modify that provision in section two, we could modify that, or else I could clarify it for the next meeting.
I think clarifying for the next meeting would be fine.
If the commission's okay with it, a motion to adopt the policy and a support, and then a vote would be appropriate.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Hold your space bar, Sally.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to Consent agenda, item number three, the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items or item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have five items. Item A, approval of the October 13th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. Item B, authorize city manager to approve professional pump to rebuild and reinstall filter feed pumps, $12,650, and execute related documents. Item C, authorize city manager to approve professional pump to rebuild airport booster pump of $3,120 and execute purchase order. Item D, approve appointment of Robert Webster to the Airport Advisory Board as an ex officio member for a 3-year term ending August 24th, 2023. And E, authorize city manager to approve purchase of refurbished Philip MRX unit from Master Medical Equipment of $5,995 plus shipping and execute required documents. On item D, Robert Webster, is he present? Barb or Patrick, is he in our audience?
If he's present,
not that I can tell.
He may wish to raise his hand if he wishes to speak to the commission. He can raise his hand electronically or unmute him. Well, he can't unmute himself. He'd have to let us know.
We just heard that he may be present, so I just wanted to introduce himself. But apparently he's not there, so the consent agenda stands as is.
I would make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Roll call, please, Caroline.
I'm working on it. My shortcut didn't work. Grunch.
Aye.
Nadeheimer.
Aye.
Page.
Spacebar, Sally.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to citizens' comments. Do we have anybody in our audience that wishes to speak?
Showing none, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to correspondence. I don't think we have anything there. We'll move on to city manager's report. Mike?
Well, with all the other changes and going back to an electronic meeting, today we have the pleasure of introducing to you some recent additions and changes to our City Hall team. You've already met and has been showing up on our screen, Caroline Kennedy. She's the former village clerk and a former assistant village manager for the Village of Elk Rapids and has been added to our staff to become the new city clerk and city treasurer in preparation of Cindy's retirement on January 15th. Our deputy clerk, Jane Halstead, has been promoted to become our new deputy treasurer. Another new member of our team is Jessica Pearl, who started with us on Monday as our new deputy clerk. Jessica comes to us with extensive experience in the banking industry, having previously worked in the Fifth Third branch here in Boyne City, Michigan, and most recently for a chemical bank, covering most of Northern Michigan out of their Petoskey office, helping to run their customer courier services. Training for all three employees is currently underway with Cindy, Jane, and our retired Deputy Treasurer, Michelle Hewitt, leading the lessons. All three of them should be available for introductions and welcoming by the City Commission. And please join us in welcoming Caroline, Jane, and Jessica.
Thank you, Mike. I would love to turn it over to you three, and I'm sure our commissioners would love an introduction and welcome you. I'm speaking on behalf of the commissioners. We welcome you to our team and congratulations. Caroline, why don't you start, if you wish.
Sure. I just really excited to be here. I was really looking forward to working for this community, for good leadership all the way around. I'm having a great time getting to know the staff, and I'm just really impressed with the high level of professionalism here and looking forward to a long future. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Commissioners, any comments or questions?
Welcome.
Welcome aboard.
You bet.
Have you aboard.
Let's move on to Jane. We all know Jane, and congratulations, Jane, on your promotion. Are you with us today? I think you are.
I'm here. Thank you. I enjoy working for the city, and I'm looking forward to the new challenge, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
You bet. Commissioners?
Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Jessica Pearl, welcome to our team. Are you with us? Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Appreciate the opportunity and can't wait to get to know everybody.
Well, we'll keep you busy there. So that's a happening spot there. The voice of the city, front and center. We appreciate you joining our team. Commissioners?
I did have one question for Mike. Is a commission action required for any of these appointments?
Yes, I'll be bringing to the commission at a future date actual appointment of Caroline as the deputy treasurer, as the city clerk and treasurer. I'm getting the positions confused. So currently she's brought in as staff, for her to actually move up to a department head position, that'll require city commission confirmation.
Thank you, Dean. Well, we appreciate the three of you. Let's move on with your report, Mike.
Okay, very good. Cindy, did you have anything you wish to say with regards to the new additions?
Sure. I am so excited about this team that's been put together for the city. I'm just really proud to be a part of this. I know that come January 16th, I know things are just going to be great and probably better than ever. So I'm just really excited to have everyone on board. Let's just get through next week, though, right? We can do this. Thanks.
And January 16th, are you headed to the Big Sky?
We'll see. We'll absolutely see. I mean, that's kind of one of my goals, to spend a little bit more time there in the winter. So we'll see.
Good for you.
And I'd echo Cindy's comments as well, too. It's taken us a little while to get there, and there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that are moving around right now. But I agree with Cindy's assessment that I think we've got some really great team members here, and I think working together, it's going to be a good fit. So, and I agree with her completely with regards to, obviously, we got some hurdles to cross, especially the one on November 3rd. But I think everybody's come together well so far. So if you're ready, I'd continue on.
Please.
Okay. Just to give an update with regards to the MSU extension, it appears that based on conversations I had with Charlevoix County Administrator Kevin Shepherd after the County Board of Commissioners meeting that I attended, that the MSU extension offices will be remaining at City Hall at least through May 1st. Prior to that, he and I will get together and review the status of that and see if that will be staying around longer beyond that, or if they'll be transitioning to the facilities in Charlevoix. That is a rent-free arrangement, as we've previously discussed. The DPW has completed the Boyne Forest Trail parking lot, getting all the stone there, and is currently working on drainage and the pathway into the woods out there. So they're making good progress. The dog park turf that the commission recently approved was received last week, and we're waiting for proper weather conditions and seam tape so that we can install it. And hopefully we'll have that occur before winter really hits. The crack sealing work on the airport runway and taxiways has been completed, and the fence repairs along Beardsley where a car crashed through it are pending. We're hoping those will be taken care of yet this week. The driver of the car was apprehended and we'll be looking to charge him for the damages. The John Street road end erosion control work that was again recently approved by the City Commission is now substantially complete. So you might want to go down and take a look at that. Tim seems pretty pleased with how that turned out. And Tim has also filed our annual operations report on the North Boyne compost site that's required by the state, and that was turned in on October 5th. The farmers market has concluded their Wednesday market until spring and has moved their Saturday markets into the Veterans Park Pavilion. The initial market in the pavilion was held this last Saturday and was apparently well received. Consumers Energy is in town and they're checking on our facilities for possible energy efficiency improvements. One of the proposed improvements and kind of what got the ball rolling was that we reached out to them to see if they would install and provide for us free wireless thermostats to go into the Veterans Park Pavilion. And hopefully those will be installed or have been installed today. One of the reasons for that is that'll allow us to monitor and adjust the temperature in the pavilion remotely without having to head over to the building all the time. Again, we have the GAMSA Great American Main Street Award presentation taking place this Friday at noon. And we are one of the 8 national finalists with regards to that, hoping that, fingers crossed, that we'll get over the finish line this time. And if you'd like to be partaking in that reveal, if you'd let Kelsey know as soon as possible, we'd appreciate it. And we'll go from there. So we'll see what happens on Friday. A little later on in the season, earlier than the bird event will be taking place on Saturday, November 21st. Although it's going to look a little bit differently than it has in past years. Stores are setting up their own specials, but are also setting their times, so it'll be an all-day event this year. And also, they're doing a contactless mug giveaway. It's easy for most people to say. Anyone who shops downtown on that Saturday can put their receipt with their name on it and phone number on it in a box that'll be at the log cabin. Or they can email a picture of it to, and that information will be on e-newsletter soon. Winners for the mugs will be drawn on Monday morning. So that'll eliminate the huge gathering that we've had at the log cabin where people showed up first thing in the morning in their pajamas for the mugs. So still giving the mugs, but trying to do it a little bit more safely. Also, the Santa Parades and Holiday Open House is going to look a little bit differently. That's going to be held on Friday, November 27th. Instead of the parade going by the people, as it has through the downtown in the past, this year, the people are going to go by the parade. We're going to use the loop road around Veterans Park, State and North Streets. We're going to have static parade displays stationed along the park, and then people can drive past them in their vehicles and be socially distanced and safe that way. Santa will be there from 6 to 8 p.m. And the shops are being encouraged to stay open late and follow the CDC health guidelines. The Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council is gathering public input now through December 1st on their findings of their green stormwater infrastructure study that was done recently covering Boyne City, East Jordan, and Charlevoix. You may recall they had a session on that a week or so ago. A link to the study's information and survey is available on the splash page of the city's website. EV charging stations, I had an opportunity to meet with Consumers Energy last week to confirm the locations for the EV charging stations next to the red building in the parking lot by the library. and over on the east side of Old City Park on River Street. The current estimates for them are now in to be installed in December, which is a little bit later than anticipated. And apparently that's based on consumers' energy's timeframes. So if you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions?
Mike, can I say one more thing? And then sorry, Hugh, I just saw you trying to speak too. I just want to let, I have had a number of people ask us what's going on with regards to Halloween, if, you know, if we're having it or not. There will be no Halloween parade this year. There is no city authorized trunk or treat also. The Halloween parade, the sponsors of that just didn't feel it was safe or appropriate to put it on this year. The Center for Disease Control is not recommending any trunk or treat type activities. But the CDC and the health department are basically leaving the choice of whether people go trick-or-treating to individuals. They've given guidance as to how to do it more safely with regards to how you distribute candy in a safe manner and things of that nature. And obviously people have the choice about whether they want to go trick-or-treating or whether they want to host trick-or-treatings. You know, if somebody has the lights on and the pumpkins lit and all that type of stuff, obviously they might want to have somebody stop by and hopefully we'll do it in a safe manner. So the usual hours that we hold Halloween in Boyne City are from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Those would still be the standard guideline hours, even though it's on a Saturday this year. But the choice of whether somebody wants to go trick-or-treating is going to be up to them. So just thought I'd toss that in. And Hugh, you had a question?
Yeah, I see that Shaggy's has moved. Do you have any information about that?
Yes, they have relocated to the business park where the 1-800 Stencil folks were, which was also Brownie Maskow's muscle car restorations facility. It's kind of like right behind the Chase Bank drive-through lane there, a little bit north of that and east of Great Lakes Energy. So they relocated to a bigger facility, and my understanding is that a number of other people are looking at the space that they previously occupied closer to downtown.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, any other questions for Mike? Okay. Moving on to item number 7, reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have our September 2020 financial statement packet. Any questions for Cindy or Caroline?
I did have a question for Cindy and Caroline. Wondering, you know, you mentioned in there about the increased cost for the election. Is there a possibility that any of that might be reimbursable through FEMA funds or some other source to help with that increased cost?
I'll be looking into that. We're working on the first quarter that we have to respond to the CLRGG funds that we received. So I'll be looking to see if that's available for the second or the next quarter that we apply for.
Great, thank you.
Cindy, this might be more for Barb, but I noticed that the marina revenues were up considerably. Did that have anything to do with us moving to that reservation system, or was there just more traffic at the marina this summer?
I think that we had a pretty good summer. I need to take a closer look at each line item in the revenues, especially for seasonal, because I think that some of that money taken in was receded to our marina instead of One Water. So there'll be, that number will change slightly, but we had a good summer.
Thank you.
Anything else, commissioners? Okay, thank you. There is no old business. Let's move on to new business, item A. The four-wheel drive mower and snowblower replacement recommendation. Tim?
Thank you, Mayor. So as is outlined in the memo to the City Commission, we are following through on the units that were recommended in the budget for replacement this year. We had three units that totaled $210,000. The city commission will remember that we gave approval to Zaremba's and Truck and Trailer to build up our plow truck. That truck is still being built at Truck and Trailer, and I'm hopeful that we'll see delivery on or around the 1st of December. That truck, though, was more than what we had allotted in the capital budget. So we chose to defer the pickup truck, which was the second unit recommended for replacement until some future year. And the third unit was a tractor mower with a snowblower. This is kind of like a Swiss Army knife, if you will, type of machine. It's used for mowing during the summer, collecting leaves and grass during the fall off the turf in our parks. It's used to broom the pathways. It can be used to broom sidewalks when that's needed. And it is used throughout the downtown during the wintertime to snowblow the Main Street sidewalks. So it has a host of uses throughout the year. It's a very utilitarian type of vehicle. So we wrote bids for the replacement of that unit, which is a what's called a cab mower and snowblower, back in September. And we got those bids back by October the 16th, one from Ginnup Sales in Melanson and one from Lappin's in Gaylord. The prices were, as shown, $25,230 for the Kubota and $38,916.47 for the John Deere. So the main issue with the bids was that both vendors had indicated that the what's called the material collection system, the grass and leaf catcher, was not available on either of these units. But after exploring it a little bit further with Ginnup's during the post-bid period, they found that there was a material collection system available. It would come at a cost of an additional $6,250 on top of the $25,230 that's shown. So about $31,500 to purchase that unit with the grass catcher. During those discussions with Ginnup, they offered an alternative, which is a tractor that a number of municipalities are using in the area, especially the city of Petoskey has six of these tractors that they use for cleaning the downtown sidewalks and all these other kind of multitude of uses during the rest of the year. So they found them to be very versatile. And instead of a cab mower type of unit, which is kind of like it's a front-loaded type of machine where you kind of sit literally right on top of the front wheels and it steers from the back. This is more of a conventional tractor. So this picture shows the old unit that we're getting rid of. This is the new cab mower that's just kind of scrolling by. That's the $39.90 that was priced by Ginnup. And then I think two more pictures further, you'll see an alternative that they offered up to us. And it's more of a traditional garden tractor style tractor that would have, there it is, that would have, you know, a standard underbody mower attachment as opposed to a front deck mower. And then you attach whatever implements to the front or the back in order to blow snow, brush debris, wood chip, dig post holes, you know, drag other kinds of implements like stick rakes, which are used for beach and park cleanups during the spring and sometimes in the fall, and just a whole host of other implements that can be used with this tractor. It's physically about the same size as the cab mower. It's not any taller. It's approximately the same width, but it operates with less required horsepower, yet still puts a lot of power out to the what's called the PTO or the power takeoff to run these implements. So we were invited by Ginnup to go out and look at the machine actually both machines, the one they bid and this alternative. And they priced the alternative using the same government discounts that were applied to our original bid. And it came back actually a couple thousand almost cheaper than the cab mower. The staff were impressed with its maneuverability, its flexibility, and they came back with a recommendation that we try to, you know, replace it with, try to replace the existing cab mower with one of these tractors instead. So the compact tractor pricing came back at $29,080, and that would be something specified pretty much identical to what we had bid, except for the horsepower on the tractor. And Petoskey has not had any issues, and Ginnup has assured us that this tractor is going to have ample horsepower for the type of duty it's going to be placed in if put into service. So my recommendation is that we purchase the compact tractor. It's the LX 2610 HSDC model from Kubota, and we trade in the existing cab mower so that the net cost to the motor pool would be $29,080. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Tim. Any other department heads or staff that want to have input on this topic? All right, any citizen comments?
Showing none, Mayor.
Okay, thanks. We'll go to board deliberation. Ryan, you want to start?
Oh, I'm good with the proposal.
Okay. Dean?
I am as well.
Sally?
I am too.
Hugh?
Tim, since this is a different, should we, is there a reason why you just don't, is this the only tractor that works like this, or would it be worth bidding since it's kind of different than what your original bid was?
Yeah, I'm comfortable moving forward as is. Like I said, the only spec that's slightly different is the horsepower of the tractor. You know, but for that item, it's pretty much an identical specification. I think if we were to go through the, you know, 30 to 60 day process to rebid it, two things. One, I think the results would be the same. It would come back and the Kubota is just going to be priced that much cheaper than most of the other competitors, especially John Deere, in this similar class of tractor. We know that this machine is available in stock, and we would be jeopardizing not having it ready for winter time if we were to delay and then rebid everything again. So the city does have the option to do what is in its best interest. And I think that in our best interest right now would be to purchase this unit.
Is there any value in keeping the current tractor too, just in the inventory for whatever reason?
Now, I think, you know, they're offering $9,000 on trade-in. And when you think that, you know, that's an impressive dollar amount that they're willing to offer, offer it to us currently. And if something went wrong with that tractor while it sat or wasn't used, it would certainly affect the trade-in value or the ability for us to try and sell that tractor privately down the road. So you think that, you know, this is a, say, 20 or about a 30 some thousand dollar purchase. This tractor is a 2007 model. And so it's about 14 years old, and they're willing to give us still one third, say, of its approximate value. So that's a pretty good trade-in value.
Thank you.
Thanks, you. I'm in full support. My only comment would be we do a much better job than Petoskey. I've had to rappel over some snowbanks to get to the sidewalk after parking in downtown Petoskey. So I'm sure we'll do better than that. We do do better than that. With that being said, I'm looking for a motion.
I'll move to reject the bids received on October 16th, 2020, and instead approve purchase of an alternate vehicle from Jump Sales of Lansing, Michigan, in an amount of, is this correct, $30,229?
Oh, the new number is $29,080.
So in the amount of $29,080, and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Niedermeyer, I am so sorry. I keep saying this wrong.
That's fine.
Niedermeyer, can you correct me, please?
Niedermeyer.
Niedermeyer.
Aye.
Thank you. Paige.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Crunch.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, designated assessor.
Yeah, this is an informational topic. The county, Charlevoix County, like all other counties across the state of Michigan, are responding to legislation that the state passed in 2018, which basically sets up a fallback system in case any local assessing jurisdiction that levies taxes like us basically is not in compliance with the state requirements. And basically what this sets into place is if for some reason our assessor or any of the other assessing agencies in the county couldn't perform their jobs, the designated assessor would take over that responsibility on behalf of the state and that local jurisdiction and make sure that the job is corrected and done right going forward before that ultimately got returned back to the local jurisdiction. The county's had a number of meetings with different entities across the county, and the recommendation is that we use the equalization director that's hired by the county to serve as a designated assessor. What they're looking to do is have this introduced and basically, you know, if you have any questions or comments on them, let them know between now and a meeting in November where this item would come back for formal approval. All three of the cities, and I think it seems like all the townships so far that I've heard from in the county are agreeable to this. Unless something really went askew with us, this would hopefully never have to be applied to us as well. And then the costs and fees wouldn't be applied either. But there is a fee schedule that basically says if the county does have to pick up this work and the equalization director does have to assume management of our tax rolls and things of that nature, that the fee schedule that was shown in there would be applied as well too. So. Again, we're not looking to do any action on the item today, but to introduce it so you could get comfortable with it and let them know if we have any questions.
Thanks, Mike. Any staff? Would this be something our assessor's not present, but this has been reviewed by our assessor?
Yeah, they're fine with it as well too.
Okay. Any other staff comments or any public comments?
No public comments.
Thank you. Let's go to board discussion. Dean, you have anything?
No, I really don't have any questions. It seems to me like this is something that really doesn't apply to us in our situation, but is a backstop for all communities in Michigan.
Correct. Hopefully it will never apply to us and we're not anywhere near having any problems like this.
Sally?
Sounds good to me.
You?
I'm good.
Okay. Ron?
I'm good with it.
Do you want a motion or you want to wait on that, Mike?
No motion at all is necessary. Not looking for one. And as was in the emails that I provided from the county, you kind of saw the schedule that they had laid out. So this will be coming back to you in November, it looks like.
Okay. Let's move on to item C, future meeting format.
Well, after our previous meeting was our first live meeting that we'd had since March. And there's been a desire to, in the commission, that was actually, you know, we looked at possibly doing something like that back in, I think it was July, shortly after or about the time we were returning back to opening City Hall back up. But things didn't work out then either. And right now with the, we had to have our last meeting as a live in-person meeting because there wasn't any legal framework for holding an electronic meeting. The state has now allowed us under the new format under Public Act 228, given us a framework at least through the end of December, and then under certain circumstances after that to do whole or partial meetings electronically. And to be candid, the way things have spiked significantly in Charlevoix County and some of our surrounding counties in the last couple of weeks, I'm really glad that we did do this electronically. I'm working from home just because of that situation. Hopefully I don't have anything, but not quite sure. And especially with the election coming up, we as a staff were already having a discussion about having some of our people work remotely even more so just to eliminate the or reduce the possibility of critical staff that we need to have the election take care of that. We don't want them getting sick either. So, but the question before the commission is basically mainly, what do we want to do between now and the end of the year? Do we wish to continue electronic format? Do we want to go back to live in person? And that I was starting to get mixed opinions hearing from the city commission. So I thought it was appropriate that we toss it out and have a broader discussion. I provided you the memo on this topic that I provided the commission back in June when we were looking to come back to live meetings at that time. I mean, in-person meetings, I should say, or live either way. And I just basically gave you the same memo over again because nothing really, the overarching principles really haven't changed much with regards to the options that we have, at least through the end of the year.
Thank you, Mike. Staff and public, do you have any input? I don't think there's any public commenting on this, but staff, feel free to speak up because you department heads are directly involved with our meetings. So we'd like to hear from you. Then we'll go to board discussion. Anyone? Open discussion here? Okay.
Tom, you did mention, whether the public might have some comment on this, because obviously this is a way that we interact with them as well, too. We saw what the social distancing requirements were in the commission chambers at our last meeting, where we spaced that out. We were able to get about 14 chairs in the commission chambers the way we had it set up there. We were able to basically stage that so we could put additional seating in the second floor lobby area. And then we also had a spillover room with our monitor and the speaker system that we could put the Parkview room into use as well too. So we do have some space requirements. We can handle the public in the commission chambers and the surrounding rooms if we need to. It isn't quite as convenient as it used to be when we all could just get in one room and pretty much handle any crowd we have. But there are ways to manage it, at least with a fair number of people in there.
Yeah, I agree. And you guys did a great job of facilitating our last one that was open to the public. keeping us spaced and using our microphones and using the lobby. That all worked out good. But yeah, now we have to make a decision. And the combination, let me ask you this, Mike. Some meetings that we don't anticipate a audience or a big crowd, could that be held live? And then if we anticipate an evening and or a hot topic that we go, I mean, we kind of got to go make a decision and stick to it. You agree?
Well, I mean, there isn't anything legally that keeps you from going. I mean, we could bounce back and forth and change it up each meeting, kind of what I think you were talking about there, you know, for having, yeah. We're not anticipating a large crowd or things of that nature. We could do that. So there isn't one hard and fast rule we have to have now through the end of the year. I mean, we could change it on a week by week basis or, you know, and, you know, have revisit this item at the end of each commission meeting as to what you wanted to do the next one with as well. I think we have done a very good job with regards to our Zoom meetings and especially incorporating the public and things of that nature. Again, it still doesn't take the place of, you know, the in-person meetings that we all wish we could go back to, but I just don't think we can go back to normal times yet, and especially with the spiking that we're seeing now. So, you know, I want to make sure we foster good communications between the commission members and with the public as well, too. I think we've been able to do that. But one of my overarching concerns, and remember, the reason I'm working from home right now, is I want to make sure we keep our staff and the public safe. So those are things that we want to balance. I know certain number members of my staff are a little bit more concerned about, you know, the bugs and things of that nature than others, but I want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable.
Fair enough. Commissioners, let's have a debate here. Sally?
My personal opinion is that as long as we have that open till the end of the year, we should just assume Zoom meetings. And if we want them another way for a particular reason, we can do that, as Mike says.
Okay. Hugh?
Mike, have you heard anything from the public? We've had two meetings that were rather popular with the property maintenance standards and the zoning change, where there were complaints about how the meeting went or anything like that. Any feedback at all?
I don't think I've ever heard any complaints, Hugh, with regards to how the meetings went. I mean, the meetings themselves seemed to go well. There were some concerns with regards to information being distributed in advance. You know, whether it was online or things of that nature. And that would have happened irregardless of whether we were doing it in person or whether we're doing it by Zoom. That was more of a technical issue with regards to just making sure all the materials were on the website and things of that nature. So with regards to having Zoom meetings, I haven't heard any, I can't recall any specific complaints or concerns about other than one infamous meeting, how things have gone.
Yeah, I'm fine with continuing the Zoom meetings. The only thing we could think about is, you know, we have a new staff, several new staff members, and just how we, you know, start to meld with them and to get to know them a little bit, and, you know, that type of thing. We don't have that opportunity now.
Well, and obviously I'd welcome you all to come on down and say hello to him at the city hall. But right now I'd rather you do that after the election. I mean, to be frank, everybody's got their hands full right now, and that's gotta be our number one priority.
Yeah. I was thinking after the, you know, just as we grow together here.
Yeah. No, I would encourage you, you know, if things are healthy and things of that nature, you know, come to the window, introduce yourself to Jessica, or come down and say hello to Jane and wish her well and things of that nature. Obviously, don't want to do any shaking of hands or anything of that nature, but you can talk through the plastic at least.
It'll be the motto for the future. You can talk to them through the plastic at least.
Oh, I hope we get past that. Ron?
Well, I think it's prudent to continue as the way we've been working the last several months, and have to do it on a case basis. If it fits the need to have it on the live, well, we go for it. But it's a work in progress, and you just have to take it one week at a time.
Yeah. Thanks, Ron. Dean?
Yeah, I think we should definitely stick with Zoom through the end of the year. It just has been mentioned already, looking at infection rates in this area, the direction of the pandemic isn't going the right way for us. And I think our first priority should be protecting not only ourselves, but the city staff and then our residents. So I think it's just good prudence until the end of the year. After the end of the year, we may not have a, may or may not have a choice about how we meet. I do think, though, that we need to move technologically in the direction of that hybrid model for a couple of reasons. First of all, after the first year, let's assume that in the absence of an emergency order, we have to get together. Public don't have to join us, but we have to at least get together in person. But let's say one or more members has one of those exemptions that they talked about. We still need to figure out a way of engaging them and that sort of in a way that meets the requirements of the Act. And I think that that sort of requires some sort of hybrid way of being able to engage individuals. And I think too, you know, as time goes on, one of the things we may learn is that being able to have a technological way of being able to engage the public in our meetings can continue regardless into the future. So think about, you know, if we can get this right technologically, that let's say there's somebody in the future, post-COVID even, who are individuals who escaped from Boyne City for a couple of months, not members of our commission, but our residents. And there's a big issue that comes up and they really want to participate in it. You know, if we had the technology available that was easy to use and more seamless, we could get more people involved in our meetings, public, you know, and have an opportunity for them to weigh in and being part of our discussion. I really think that we should start now and moving that direction, with the idea being that after the first of the year, we can start utilizing that technology in cases where it's appropriate.
Dean, can you give me an example of what you mean?
Well, so right now we're all Zoom, but let's say that we had to, after the first of the year as a city commission, meet face-to-face. We can always, it could always be able to accept participation publicly as long as they can see and hear us, right? And one case would come up. Let's say we were all meeting together, but one of our members had a medical reason they couldn't be there. Under the law, they can still be in our meeting as a commissioner. We got to figure out a way to engage them in a way that they can still be seen and heard. That's still a requirement of the Act, and that we can see and hear them. So we're there, but somebody else is someplace else. So that's sort of a hybrid model. In other words, we got to use a little technology in addition to us in the room. Makes sense. The other case would be is if in the future we wanted to continue to use that sort of hybrid model, we're in the room, but we have opportunities for people out of the room or wherever they are to participate, that we could get our residents involved in the future in being part of our discussion, or at least to weigh in when they didn't have an opportunity to be in the room with us. And that's permitted under the Open Meetings Act, and would provide us more opportunity to get more people involved. They don't have to show up to our meeting to participate. They could participate in another way in our informal meetings.
Okay, so I'm anticipating something like Zoom. It's just that it's just part of the procedure that when we ask for public input, that we would not only ask public that's there, but electronically we would ask also. Is that kind of simplifying it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could set up our own rules at some point. For instance, we could say something like, if somebody was someplace else they wanted to participate, let us know in advance. We make sure that we can have the technology available. Maybe that would be permissible as well. You know, some way that we could do that. We wouldn't be obligated to, but it might be, especially since we're sort of forced to look more seriously at how we use this type of technology now, it could be of a benefit to us in the future to get more people involved regardless of where they are.
Okay, thanks. I agree with the wisdom of my fellow commissioners. I think we need to pursue Zoom and as far as it'll take us until the year for everybody's safety, with the prospect that if we need to meet in a small group, in a big room, we could do that. So does that give you some direction, Mike?
Got it.
I don't think you need a motion, but
no,
just direction. Okay. Any further comments, commissioners? Okay.
Next one's audit.
Moving on to a pre-audit work session.
Well, the audit is coming to a conclusion. The auditors have been requesting a lot of information recently from Cindy, and it's coming. They're pretty well prepared to have something ready for us, potentially for us to go through our usual audit presentation via Zoom, I'm assuming, at our November 10th meeting as well, too. One of the things that we've done the last couple of years that I think has been productive is the City Commission's held a work session in advance of the audit presentation at the commission meeting, so they could meet with our auditor, review the audit, and have any discussions, have them, they kind of walk through it in a little bit more depth than they do in the public session for us. So our next City Commission meeting is scheduled at for 7 p.m. on the 10th, on that Tuesday. And what we usually did is we'd meet like at 5 or so, and we'd had the auditor come and present to us. I guess the question is, do we want to kind of do that same type of a schedule and have that take place via Zoom this year as well too? Is this one of those circumstances where we might want to do something on a different date and have him come and meet with us in person potentially? As a small group type of thing. I mean, that meeting would still have to be open to the public, but I wouldn't anticipate we'd get a lot of participation on that. We would still have to stay socially distanced and all that type of stuff. But I could see we could, if not necessarily in the Parkview room, we could do that in the commission chambers, potentially set that up as well. So I guess prior to the audit presentation, what's the commission's preference in meeting with the auditor, and how would they like to do that, if you would like to do it?
I would like the idea of meeting with a Mike and maybe doing it on another date other than the city commission date and meet in person.
I support that, except I don't want to meet in person. I don't think we should. If we're going to keep to our principles, that we should stay electronic. But I think we could have still a good discussion with them, a presentation. It wouldn't be limited to the date of the meeting because the auditor wouldn't have to travel if we're meeting via Zoom.
Brian?
I could go either way on it. It's just, I'd prefer to do it in person. It seems to generate a bit more questions, so.
Sally?
I think if we did it on a different date, but set it up in the commission room with just the commissioners and the auditor and one, whoever else is there. But I think we should still stick with Zoom as much as we can.
So which way are you saying that one, Sally? Is that in person or not for that?
I'm saying I could go along with in person, but I prefer Zoom. I prefer Zoom until we know how long this second wave is going and how high it's going to get.
So it sounds like we're kind of split. I guess I'm saying the previous discussion, we kind of committed to Zoom. I guess we need to practice that and try the audit by Zoom. Whether it's the same day or a different day, I don't think that's important. The important part is Can we make Zoom work? Because we just discussed we should make Zoom work.
Well, how about if we do this? Why don't I try? I'll get together with Cindy and Joe and we'll set something up. Unless there's a real strong preference for doing something on a different day, because I know it's starting to get a little tight and staff's going to be busy and they're going to be busy with other stuff at least until next Tuesday. And then they're going to need a couple days to recover. I'll try and set it up for a work session, probably the same that we've done before at 5 o'clock. It will be via Zoom. And if for some reason after, if we go through that meeting and we're not feeling that we've gotten all our questions answered, kind of like Ron was suggesting, we can schedule, if the commission desires, we can schedule another work session with him to have an in-person one at a later date. We don't have to have just one bite of the apple if we're not satisfied with the apple the first time.
Comments, commissioners?
I was just wondering, Mike, with the pressure on the staff with the election, why what's so key about November 10th?
Nothing. At least unless Cindy thinks that there is anything. That was kind of the first available time to do it. We've usually done it by now. It's a little bit later than usual because of the, it seems like it's a little bit later than usual just because of them doing things remotely. So, I mean, as far as I know, unless Cindy corrects me, we could do that at our meeting on the 24th of November?
We could do it on the 24th too. The last couple of years, we've done it that first meeting in November.
Okay.
7 p.m. meeting, and then we met at 5 prior.
So I guess that would keep us on schedule. But you're right, Hugh, we didn't have the big election right before it too.
Could we make it staff choice? Depending on how pressured you're feeling, related to the election.
After Wednesday, the heat's gone on us in here as far as that pressure, that additional pressure. I mean, there's other things obviously, but.
Well, I'm hoping the pressure's off on Wednesday. I'm not quite as certain about that.
But. Well, I'm good with whatever the majority thinks. If the staff is okay doing it the 10th, whatever's good with me.
It kind of sounds like we'll work with you, Mike, on whatever works best. Maybe Joe needs to be in on the conversation.
Right. He was available on the 10th, and if Cindy's comfortable with doing it on the 10th, we'll shoot for the 10th. If for some reason if things are looking a little bit rough, we'll push it back a week or a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 10, good of the order. Well, let's see here. Ron?
All right. Okay.
Dean?
Good.
Sally?
Good.
You?
Good.
I got one topic, and we've talked a little bit about it, but getting students involved at the local governmental level. And this is a topic that I, when I traveled to the classrooms a year ago, 2 years ago, there was a lot of interest, and I spoke as to the role of local government and so forth, and student representatives on the boards was talked about, and then I didn't really follow through, and then the virus hit, and we have a renewed interest in it, and starting with, as you saw from the student from Charlevoix Public Schools, and we talked about it at the Planning Commission, and it was overwhelmingly supported. And I contacted Ross Daniels, who's the civics teacher, just last week, and he's back on board with 6 kids already signed up that want to participate. So, and I've talked to Mike about it. I think that we need, or Mike's going to go put it on the November agenda to talk about, a resolution of some type and protocol as to a non-voting member, and there's all types of things we need to discuss, but I guess I'm just pointing this out now that it's going to come up. It's a future discussion item in November, and And I think it's a good idea. And once we get everything in line, I think the students and the Mr. Daniels is ready to go. So it's kind of exciting to get local students involved in local government. So stay tuned to be continued.
Yeah, currently my understanding is that, you know, you mentioned it received a warm reception by the Planning Commission. My understanding is that Parks is talking about it as well too. And it will be coming up at the next Main Street Board meeting is my understanding. So I was hoping to bring all three of those bodies wherever they're looking to go with it to the commission at one time.
Good. Anything else under good of the order? Okay, so our next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for November 10th at 7 p.m. with possibly a audit meeting at 5 or there, around there before that to be determined. And it is 1:12, and I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second
by Ron. Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Crunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.